The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good morning. I wanted to continue the conversation on concentration that I started last week. And today, mostly, I'd like to talk about the importance, really, of setting up a container for the concentration. Okay, it's basically a container for the meditation. Last time I talked about the different kinds of concentration. So what I'm going to talk about today applies to the various kinds of concentration. And just to review briefly, there's the kind of concentration, kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum. There's the kind of concentration that we cultivate by just stabilizing on one experience, like the breathing, and just coming back to that over and over again, letting go of anything not that in favor of just settling the mind on that one experience. The mind settles down, the mind gets quite still in that kind of concentration. Things begin to fall away that are not the breath. And we can't even get quite absorbed into the breathing, such that even the other senses in the body, the hearing, other experiences just kind of really recede, if not disappear completely. And then there's on the opposite end of the spectrum is a kind of concentration where we're not trying to have the mind stay with any particular experience, but we're trying to stabilize the awareness so that it can meet a changing flow of experience. That kind of concentration is a stability of the awareness, a stability of the mindfulness, and it is just meeting moment to moment whatever is apparent to us. It may be a sound, it may be a body sensation, it may be a breath, it may be a pain, it might be a thought or an emotion. It's just the kind of the stream, the flow of our lived experience comes through. And the mind just, the awareness just meets that in a very stable way without following out after anything. Often that kind of meditation, that kind of practice is more difficult initially for many people, because as we just open to the flow of experience, you know, a car drives by, we hear the car and we think about the car, or we think about our car and the fact that we heard something funny as we drove to the center today, and what am I going to do about my car? It's just so quickly our minds will move off of the kind of flow of experience into thinking about that experience that has happened. So that stabilizing of the awareness it's basically a continuity of awareness on a flow of changing experience without the wandering out into thought that results in another kind of concentration. That's called moment-to-moment concentration. And the experience doesn't have the same still quality that the one-pointed concentration does, where we're focused on one thing, because in that experience everything gets very still. In the experience of opening up to changing experience, the changing experience can be quite fluid and dramatic in effect, just really rapidly changing. The experience doesn't seem still, but the awareness is still. And that stillness of awareness is kind of a manifestation of the concentration. And then there's a wide range in between, and we talked about that last time, that there can be a blending of these kinds of concentration practices. and in any of the kinds of meditation practices, in any kind of meditation practice, actually, some amount of concentration is necessary and very supportive for the mind to stabilize and be present. It's the concentration that allows us to not wander out and think about things. So what I'm going to talk about today, kind of setting up this container for concentration, applies to all the different kinds of practices. There are different ways that we might approach this setting up of a container depending on the kind of meditation practice that you're doing. But I'm going to just kind of I'm going to try to speak in general enough terms that you'll be able to hopefully connect it with your own experience and apply some of what I'm talking about. Today it's really going to be a very kind of practical, nuts and bolts kind of talk about how to work with various aspects of your experience to set up this container for concentration. Because we can't make concentration happen. We can only support the conditions that allow it to arise. And for me, that's a really helpful thing to remember. Because we often, in our meditation practice, we bring our kind of "I'm going to do this" mentality that we have in our culture. I'm going to do this thing, and we think we can make the concentration happen. And we can't really make the concentration happen. We can. Concentration arises when the mind becomes, when the awareness becomes continuous. Whether it's continuous on a single object like the breathing or whether it's continuous on a flow of changing experience. It's that continuity of awareness that is the concentration. And we can't force that. We can, for short periods of time, through an act of will, kind of hold on. But that kind of holding on results in a pretty brittle concentration that's very easily broken. So The more stable way to develop concentration or to support the conditions, actually, it's much more about creating a container that supports conditions that allows concentration to arise. The main aspect of that container, kind of the structure of that container, is relaxation. That's one of the main supports for concentration. That is not what I would have thought when I first started meditating. I thought that, you know, you had to actually, you know, chug along, do things, not relax. That was not in my mind in terms of how to allow concentration. So relaxation is really, really important. In the guided meditation I did, I spent quite a long time encouraging you to connect with relaxation. Different people need different amounts of time for this, and different days. The same person on different days may need different amounts of time to connect with that kind of relaxed attention. This relaxed attention, it's not only relaxation of the body, it's relaxation of the awareness. It's a relaxation of the attention, both of those two together. And when the body is relaxed, the attention, it's much easier for the attention to be relaxed. And so that's why I started the guided meditation with a fairly extended period of encouraging relaxation of the body. And we need, as I said, we need different amounts of time for this. Different people, some people need longer, some people can relax fairly easily. Some days we're more tense than others. We need to take more time to connect with that relaxation. There have been times in my meditation where I have realized that the mind and body were so tense that the most skillful thing for me to do was to take the entire meditation period to simply cultivate relaxation and to never particularly aim the attention at the breath or at hearing or at anything in the experience other than just may the body relax, may the mind relax. This container, setting up this container of relaxed attention, is really the most important a framework for the meditation. If you can get that relaxed container and then learn from that place of relaxation how to open the attention to your experience, either open the attention to a particular experience like the breathing, or open the attention to the flow of experience of seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching, and emotions and thoughts. With relaxation, when we can learn how to turn the attention to our experience and not lose that relaxation, then the meditation takes its own course very naturally. We really have to do very little in the meditation. Once we learn how to what that relaxed, attentive container feels like in our meditation. And so I really encourage you to take quite a bit of time to explore what it means to, first of all, just to relax, and then what it means to apply that kind of relaxation to attending to your experience. So in the guided meditation after the relaxation, I suggested opening to hearing. That's a fairly often, for many people, not everybody, for many people, it's a fairly easy place to maintain that relaxation, because it's so clear that sounds are not anything that we're doing. They're just happening, and that the ear just does its thing. We don't have to do anything to hear other than just kind of open to that sense door. And so it can be fairly relaxed to settle back and just meet the experience of hearing. I've also found it helpful, if you can find a place, a way of paying attention that you can be relaxed in, that's a good place to cultivate. So if hearing works for you, if you find that you can be relaxed and just receive the experience of hearing without either following out after it or having the mind feel like it's narrowing down and tightening or getting like the attention is squeezing down on the experience, that's a pointer to that kind of relaxed attention that I'm talking about. When you've learned how to apply relaxed attention to a particular experience, then you can start seeing, well, can I try to do that with another experience, like the breathing, for example? Can I turn my attention to the breathing and allow that relaxed attention to stay open, allow that attention to stay open and relaxed? In my own experience of learning about this kind of relaxed attention, I discovered for myself the easiest way to have that relaxed attention was through kind of opening to kind of a full body awareness and just the flow of body sensations. And so that's pretty easy for me to connect with that in a relaxed way. It's fairly non-doing. You know, just can sit back and just receive the body sensations, kind of like one might receive the hearing. And then, so I discovered that I could be attentive and relaxed in that way, but as soon as I tried to turn the attention to the experience of breathing, the mind kind of tightened down around it. I could feel that it was no longer quite so relaxed. The mind kind of was like trying to exclude other things and just kind of find the breath somehow. So it was not a big deal, but it was clearly not as relaxed as it was just in the meeting the body sensations. And what I learned was helpful for me was, as soon as I noticed in trying to direct my attention to the breathing, as soon as I noticed that the attention kind of squeezed down, I would let go. I would go back to my full body awareness. If you have something, it might be hearing. If you're trying to turn your attention to the breathing and you notice that there's that kind of tightening down, go back to hearing. Go back to connecting to relaxation in whatever way works for you. And so I would meet the breathing, notice that it was tense down, and I would go back to relaxation. And then in a few moments, I'd try again. And maybe I'd get a breath and a half before the mind kind of got tight. I'd go back. And I went back and forth like that many times during a sitting until I could really find the place. It was kind of like the mind had to figure it out. I couldn't make it happen. The mind had to learn how to apply that relaxed attention to a particular object, at least in my case. In my case, it was very easy to kind of sit back and let the flow of experience come through. But as soon as I tried to direct or focus the attention on something in particular, it got tight. And so for me, I had to go back and forth. I had to go back and forth with going back to that relaxation and finding a place or a way where that relaxation, that relaxed attention could connect with a particular experience. And that back and forth just seemed to, it's like, oh yeah, that's what it's like. Okay, now try again. And it could connect for a little while. And oh, there it got, the habit of tightening down kicked back in. Okay, go back. Oh yeah, that's what it's like. Okay, then come back. Okay, that's, okay, I can meet that. And just until the mind began to realize how to meet that experience without tightening down on it. Now, others of you may have a kind of, it may be different. It may be that some of you are, it's very easy to connect with just the breath. That when you try to open up to other experience, the mind just feels like it's just in chaos. It's just out of control. And the mind just immediately will get wandering off into thought because it's very difficult to apply that relaxed attentiveness to a stream of experience. So in that case, you might need to do the opposite. You might need to start again. It's a similar thing. You're starting with where your mind can settle and relax, and then moving to open to a broader flow of experience. Both sides, both the mind can do either one. The mind can turn it, we can turn our attention to a particular experience. It can be very narrow and small. I mean, we can pay attention to just a little point the size of the tip of our nostril. Or we can pay attention to an area the size of our whole head or our whole body. Or we can pay attention to the breath at the abdomen. Or we can turn our attention to hearing. Or we can turn our attention to the entire flow of experience, not restricting any sense door. So the awareness can, a malleable, flexible awareness can at any point do either one in a relaxed way. And we need in our meditation to have the skill on both sides, to be able to turn the attention to something or to open up and to meet the flow of experience. Different people will come in through different doors. Some people have a more natural affinity with just meeting one experience. Some people have a more natural affinity with meeting a flow of experience. Wherever it is for you that it's easiest to connect with relaxation, start there. Use where your strength is. Start from that place. And so if you are, if it's easier for you to connect with one experience, the breathing to begin with, then from time to time, you might want to open up to a larger experience. And you don't have to open up to the whole flow of experience right away. I mean, you might start with the breathing. Suppose you're paying attention at the abdomen. And instead of just keeping it focused on that area, you could, as a way to explore this opening up, begin to just see, well, can I feel more? Can I feel a larger area? To just begin to open up the field that you're attending to. And see if you can maintain that relaxed connection without wandering off, without kind of getting spaced out in thinking about things. Because often for people, I think, that have that ability to stay connected to one experience, when they open to wider experience, the mind tends to get lost more easily. And so it's kind of this balancing act that we each need to learn to navigate. So I have more to say, but I'm going to stop there for a moment and see if there's any thoughts or questions or comments about what I've said.
I just loved when you said, think of your mind as a muscle. Mm. I never, ever, that was very good for me. Thank you.
So that supported your relaxation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great. I'm happy. Anything we can do to support that. There's so many different tools.
I really appreciate you introducing me to the relaxation, because I realize I need a lot of it. And it has made such a difference in how I'm able to really look forward to meditation and staying with it so much better.
Great.
So it's really, really helped me.
Okay, so I have been emphasizing this for quite a while now.
Yes.
So I'm glad to hear that it is
it is
bearing fruit.
It's really been good for me.
Great. Thank you. So I'll ask you a question. How many of you feel like it's easier for you to be relaxed while you're paying attention to one thing? No one. Oh, a couple of you. Okay. Okay, so three or four of you. And how many of you feel like it's easier when it's kind of a more open, spacious place? Okay. So it's almost half and half. So for those of you who are feeling like it's more relaxed when you're staying with one thing, how was the guided meditation for you?
Okay. It was really very helpful, because I could just let go. And again, what about the muscle? I love that. I just it was like a sponge came to me, just to be.
Uh-huh.
And so, but hearing is my it seems to be my relaxation, just being lost in the sound.
Okay, so being lost in the sound?
Just kind of, yeah, just, my body just, lost, I think. Just kind of letting go.
But is there an awareness while you're hearing?
There's, of the sound, yes.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
All there is.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
That's all there is.
Okay. So is the sound then the thing that you use as your main meditation object?
Yes.
Yeah, that can be really, really helpful. Yeah.
It is. So thank you.
And so I encourage you, starting from that place, again, what we're trying to encourage here is a malleability of the mind, to learn how to shape and fashion the mind in a skillful way. So if you have a place like the hearing for you, where it just feels like, oh, yes, I can really just meet that. then from time to time, see if you can then turn towards some other experience with that same relaxation. You'll notice probably that it doesn't last very long. You know, that relaxation doesn't last very long. Then go back to hearing.
Because the breathing bothered, it was difficult for the breathing.
The breathing is difficult. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's like...
It gets tight and tense.
Yes.
Right. So for you, I'd suggest, you know, start with the hearing and then from time to time check in. Oh, okay, can I feel a breath? Just one. And then go back to the relaxation of the hearing. And then, oh, can I feel a breath? Maybe I can try two this time. And then go back. Just to encourage the skill, I mean, I would stay primarily with the place that is easiest. And then just from time to time kind of seeing if you can incline or encourage the awareness to learn how to be relaxed with other experiences. That will really support you. I can't say how great it is to be able to do that in your daily life, you know, so that we don't have to sit down and close our eyes, that we can just be able to meet whatever's coming at us with that kind of relaxed attention. So the cultivation of it will really support the kind of broadening of the ability of the mindfulness to meet more and more experience in that relaxed way. So, yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
I appreciated the introduction last week of the concentration on multiple things or on whatever happens, even though I still think I prefer the focus on one. But sometimes when my mind doesn't settle down, I've found in the last week it letting go of the saying, well, it's okay if you just meet experience.
Yes! Great, I'm so happy.
I feel better too.
It's amazing. I mean, sometimes the mind just doesn't, it's like, well, this is what the mind is doing. And you can actually learn how to meet that and be mindful of that. So that's wonderful.
This morning, during the guided meditation, after you stopped guiding, sometime after you stopped guiding, I became aware that I was very anxious, and I have no idea at this point what that was about. I tried to allow it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It wasn't very pleasant.
It's not. That's right. Yeah.
It wasn't pleasant at all. And I don't know what happened. I don't know where it came from.
Well, and you know, with that kind of thing, it doesn't sound like there were particular thoughts associated with it. I mean, it wasn't like there was a story attached to it.
Not that I am aware of.
Right. And when that happens, you know, just seeing if you can just meet it, there's no need. I mean, one of our traps is to try to figure out where it comes from. You know, it's like, well, why is this happening? I mean, we have this really strong habit of wanting to understand why something is happening, and we actually think that's what we're supposed to do in some way. But
I did.
You did?
I did think I was supposed to find out why.
Yeah, so,
that's where I went.
Exactly. So, you know, there's actually no need to look for the why. Just the meeting of the experience. I mean, the interesting thing about concentration If we can just meet our experience and stay connected with whatever it is at the obvious level, that's kind of the way concentration works in this flow of experience, is that we just meeting whatever's obvious moment to moment without thinking about it, trying to figure it out, trying to understand, the flow of events that led to it, just meeting it, in just experientially meeting it. As we can meet our experience in that way, the continuity of that brings the concentration, which the concentration plus the mindfulness together, those two together, allows us to begin to kind of see more clearly. So, initially we start like on an outer layer of, we're looking at some big mass of something. Anxiety is present in our system, and okay, we just feel that anxiety. And as we pay attention to that with our mindfulness and the continuity, just trying to meet it without thinking about it, without trying to figure it out, those two pieces together, the mindfulness and the continuity, which turns into concentration, somehow begins to, it's like it begins to gently ease its way into the layers. And you may or may not, I mean, sometimes these things happen out of habit, It's just a habit of anxiety that has appeared. There's no particular reason or need or thought that appeared, or there may have been, but it went by so fast you didn't notice it. So just meeting the experience as it is, what starts to happen is the continuity of the mindfulness begins to kind of take us deeper into what's actually going on. So we actually start to see more clearly what's going on in our minds and bodies. And you might, at some point, through just noticing what's happening, you might notice some kind of correlation or connection to some thought or some mood that is the trigger point for the anxiety. But trying to think about it to figure it out is generally, it's disrupting that ability of the concentration to develop, which allows the mind to actually sink in to see more clearly. So that's a great example of what often happens to us. And if we can just see if we can just meet our experience, it's a trusting. It kind of feels like a trusting to me. A trusting that what we need to see will be revealed to us. So it kind of is a letting go of the tendency we have to try to control the way things go. It's like, okay, I want to figure this out. That's kind of got a control aspect to it. So kind of a letting go of that. A trusting that just meeting experience will reveal to us what we need to see. So, thank you for your description. So I want to talk about a couple qualities. There's five qualities, and I won't talk about all of them, I'm sure. In the 20 minutes we have left, I won't have time to talk about all five. But I will just mention them briefly. There are five qualities that come along that are cultivated as we become concentrated. These five qualities are called the factors of concentration. They are what's called aiming the attention. I'll give you the Pali for these. I'm so used to the Pali for these. They're vitakka and vichara, which are aiming the attention and sustaining the attention on experience. So that's, the aiming and sustaining are basically where the effort comes in around the concentration practice. So aiming and sustaining the attention. And then there's three more that are, they're results of concentration. They are what's called piti or rapture. There is sukha or happiness. And there is ekagata, which is one-pointedness. So of these five, the first two, the aiming and sustaining of the attention, are the only two that we really have any kind of measure of choice on. That we can do those a little bit. We can point our minds in the direction of those two qualities. The other three, the rapture, the happiness, and the one-pointedness, or it's sometimes also called unification of mind. One-pointedness, tends to make it sound like, you know, you're just on one thing. And that applies only when we're concentrating on a single object. Unification of mind kind of more refers to the kind of stability of mind that develops of awareness. The stability of awareness. So that one-pointedness or that unification of mind is present in the stable awareness that's meeting that flow of changing experience. So those last three are results of the practice. So, you know, there's things that I can talk about with those, and we'll see whether it might make sense to talk about those some. Not next week, because I'm away next week, but the following week. But since we don't have too much control over them, and what I'm really talking about is today is setting up this container of the meditation, those first two, the aiming and the sustaining of the attention, are two of the tools that help us to set up that container. So I want to talk just a little bit about about each of those. So they come together. When they're talked about in the Buddha's teachings, in the discourses that he gave, they're usually talked about as a pair, that especially with respect to concentration. They're talked about as the aiming and the sustaining of the attention. Sometimes it's translated as applied thought and evaluation. So sometimes it's translated in that way. Basically, the aiming is basically turning the attention to experience. In the concentration practice, this is like, for instance, right now, turn your attention to the experience of your hands. Notice the experience of your hands. That quality that the mind has, that it can go somewhere, point the attention. Now pay attention to the experience of your feet. Now pay attention to hearing. The ability of the mind to choose like that, where it's going, is that quality of the aiming of the attention. There's also in my understanding of this, I haven't read this anywhere, but my own understanding based on my own experience, is that when we're opening to a flow of changing experience, the aiming goes to the awareness itself. We're basically aiming at awareness, and then the awareness is just meeting whatever is happening. So it's a little more of a subtle object to aim at. So that aiming of the attention is that ability of the mind to choose what it's paying attention to. Then the sustaining of the attention is the ability of the mind to stay with an experience. Generally, we can, with very little effort, aim the attention at something. I mean, when I just say, pay attention to the sensations of your lips touching together, boom, it's right there. I mean, it's not very hard to do that aiming of the attention. What is challenging is the sustaining, that part is like a muscle that needs to develop slowly over time. And what we tend to do in our meditation is we aim at the breath. I'm going to use the breath as an example right now. This is not saying that I think this is what you should be doing. So we aim our attention at the breath, and then we think, okay, I need to sustain my attention, and so we hold on to it. So it's like we're using a lot of effort to try to hold on to that experience. This is kind of like, if your muscles are weak, and you go to a gym, and you start, you know, trying to strengthen your muscles, you don't start by picking up the 50-pound weights. You start by picking up the 5-pound weights and working with those. And you work with those for a little while, and then you pick up the 6-pound weights and you work with those for a little while. And then you pick up the 7-pound, and you work up. In a similar way, the sustaining of the attention, there usually is some kind of a natural, with that aiming of the attention, there's a kind of a natural, what you might call residual sustaining that happens when you aim the attention at something. It may be half a second. It may be 2 seconds. So the way to cultivate that quality of sustaining isn't by trying to hold on to the experience, but it's just by pointing the mind to the experience. Oh, there's an in-breath. And then seeing how long is it kind of naturally sustained. Well, okay, you know, there's an in-breath. And then perhaps at the beginning of the out-breath, remind yourself again, okay, there's the out-breath. The in-breath maybe takes 2 seconds. The out-breath, 2 seconds. So you can begin to cultivate that through using the aiming and sustaining together. You can cultivate a continuity of awareness that is actually fairly light. It's not got a lot of struggle or striving or effort to it. So beginning to notice these two qualities in your mind. So right now, let's just take a moment to turn your attention, and we'll use the breathing. We'll just settle for just a moment. Just settle into your body. And notice wherever it is that the breathing is obvious for you. Not particularly trying to hold on to it, but just, you know, finding, just noticing. Where is it in your body that the breathing is obvious for you? And then, so now, see if you can connect with an in-breath. And when that in-breath is done, see if you can connect with an out-breath. Just enough effort. Don't make very much effort at all here. It's really just enough to connect with that in-breath and see, does the mindfulness stay for that period? And then again, connect with the out-breath. And does the mindfulness stay for that period? And just again and again, it's just like, oh, okay. Kind of using that ability of the mind to aim at each half breath. Another way I play with this and continue to play with this while I'm speaking is to ask myself, how little effort do I need to stay mindful? The aiming part doesn't take that much effort. And so noticing kind of how long the sustaining lasts for, and then aiming again. So opening your eyes and coming out of the exercise. So I'm curious, how was that? I mean, did you get a sense of having a really light connection with the breathing so that it's not like trying to hold on to it? Yes, some of you. So the key with this vitaka and vichara, this aiming and sustaining, is to kind of get familiar with that aiming part. Usually doesn't take too much effort. The place where we tend to over-effort is on the sustaining. And so to notice when you turn your attention to something, kind of how long is it natural for your mind to hang out there? And kind of aim your attention there and take it in. And then kind of do it again and again and again. That very light touch of just, half breath. The noting practice actually can support this. If you're not using the breath, for instance, if you're turning your attention to hearing, you can use the noting as a way to kind of aim your attention at the experience. So you're paying attention to hearing, and just every few seconds, reminding yourself that that's where you're pointing your attention, hearing. Now the trick with this, there's the kind of light touch around it. Part of the trick around it is to learn how these two qualities navigate together. Because as we sustain our attention, as we can through the combination of aiming and short sustaining, so an aim, short sustain, aim, short sustain, aim, short sustain, that very light touch begins to kind of cultivate these other qualities of rapture, of happiness, of unification of mind. And as those begin to kind of come into play, the mind more naturally will stay with the experience. So then at that point, the aiming begins to feel disruptive. If you're trying, hearing, it just feels like way too busy. You know, it's like, I can just hang out for 10, maybe 15 seconds with hearing. And then the mind will start to go off. So beginning to get a sense of how long the sustaining is happening. So if you're aiming the attention and you can sustain for a while, there's no need to kind of keep poking yourself with that aiming. So that's another place where we often tend to make mistakes in the meditation. That as the mind has settled down some, we're kind of agitating it through trying to stay connected through that aiming of the attention, when actually the mind is already kind of connected. And so this takes a kind of a familiarization with these two qualities and to get familiar with what it feels like for the mind to just kind of naturally stay. There's an analogy for these two qualities. The vitaka, the aiming, is compared to the striking of a bell. And the sustaining is compared to the sound that reverberates. And there's a natural length of time based on that aiming which that reverberation, that sustaining will happen. And so we need to kind of attune ourselves to that sustaining and not be too do too much of that aiming as the mind begins to settle down. So the aiming part, there's some gentle ways to aim as well. The aiming can sometimes feel a little forceful. It's like, breath at the nose can feel kind of, you know, harsh or something like that. One way that I find for myself helpful in terms of aiming that attention in a very soft way is, again, it's related to one of the pieces I put into the guided meditation, where I suggested at some point using a request for the mind and body to relax. You can also use a request at some point when the mind has relaxed. When the mind is settled down to a certain point of relaxation, it can be very amenable to requests. So just settling, again, creating that container, finding the place where that container, that relaxed attention is present, starting with relaxing the body, relaxing the mind, and then perhaps using a request to aim the attention. So may the attention rest with the breathing as a way to begin to see, can there be a gentle, it's kind of like when I put that kind of thing into my mind, it's like, oh, there's a breath. It's like just dropping that thought into the mind and body, the mind kind of naturally sees the next breath. So that's one way to kind of do a gentle aiming of the attention. Another way, and I mentioned I think both of these last week, is that sometimes when we turn our attention directly to something, and it varies depending on what it is, it's relatively easy to turn our attention directly to hearing or to some strong body sensation, the sensation of our butt on the chair. The breath at times can be pretty delicate. If we try to turn our attention directly to the breath, like if I'm paying attention to my breath under the sternum, which is where I tend to pay attention to it, if I kind of try to put my attention on that little 25-cent size piece, that quarter-sized area, it's like I can't feel it. I can't find it. I kind of have to have a larger attention. And then it's almost like looking at it from the side or looking at it in peripheral vision. And that you can sometimes, take in a larger experience and allow you, it's kind of like, well, here's an analogy. Maybe I used this last week. In looking at stars, if you look at stars, if there's a really dim star up there, you can't look right at it because you can't see that dim light through the center of the eye. But if you look just off to the side, you can see that dim star. And it's kind of the same way with the breath. The breath can sometimes get to be really delicate and really quiet, very dim in a way, very subtle. And if you try to look directly at it with your attention, it's like it obliterates it. So to me, it kind of feels like holding a bigger space for that to feel the attention, while holding a bigger space of the attention. And yet, like looking at that star, I've kind of got my, I'm looking this direction, and yet I'm paying attention just off to the side. So even though with the breath, I've got a bigger area I'm looking in, I'm paying attention to this spot. And for me, that kind of notion of a peripheral attention, looking at it from within the periphery of my attention, is a very gentle way to connect with the experience. So those are a couple of ways of gentle aiming. Oh, and it's time to stop. I had hoped to take questions again. I apologize for that. So I'm away next week, and I'll be back the following week. Take care.